Bros Pod is brought to you by BetOnline. BetOnline is the fastest and easiest way to wager on all your favorite sports, contests, and events with first-to-market odds and lines. Find reviews and news for every league, including Major League Baseball, NFL, NBA, NHL, combat sports, esports, and even golf. BetOnline continues to be the top online resource for all your sports information, from live in-game betting, props, and futures. So head to BetOnline today or use your mobile device to join today and make your first sports bet. Use our promo code BELIEVE50, that's BLEAV50, to receive your 50% welcome bonus on your first deposit. BetOnline, where the game starts.
Everybody, and welcome to another version of Bill Roden on Sports. I'm Bill Roden in an undisclosed location. Actually, I'm in a barn in upstate New York. I always want to keep you on your toes. Here on a great crisp fall afternoon. A lot of stuff to talk about. Meanwhile, holding it down in Brooklyn, New York, is my friend and co-host, the great Jamal Murphy. Murph, what's up?
What's up, Bill? Everything's good here in Brooklyn. We got a lot to talk about, a lot going on. NBA season about to start. We know, obviously, what's going on in Boston. We'll get to that. But, NFL still going on. So, a lot to talk about, Bill.
Yeah, and here my brother, Gerard Roden, making his annual visit from Germany, where he's an opera singer, though he has some breaking news about his the continuing ongoing chapter. Dr. Gerard, welcome. How you doing?
Great to be back again.
Of course, Gerard is here to talk for a few minutes about the Chicago Bears. That's the only time we talk about Chicago Bears and Rose Pod.
Come on, guys.
but we have a special guest on. He's a friend of the program. He's been on before. I think the last time we spoke, we were out at a picnic table out by in Roxbury during the NBA playoffs and talk about great Gary Washburn. He's a columnist extraordinaire for the Boston Globe, knows all things Celtics, knows a lot of stuff beyond that. Last time we spoke, he had just gotten his master's degree in journalism from University of Nebraska. Is that correct?
Yeah, very good. Yeah. Yep. Yes, sir.
Yeah. So he's kind of a cornhusker. Anyway, Gary, welcome back.
Yeah, bad football team. Yeah. Great to be here, Bill. Really appreciate the time. Really appreciate being on.
Yeah, man. It was great. Like I said, you're the man of the hour, man. Hopefully you could just clarify some stuff. You know, I'll try. We were all stunned. There are two things. In fact, I just wrote a column about this for Anscape that should be going up any hour now. I've been trying to figure out what the hell's going on in Boston with the former head coach, Ime Udoka, who 4 months ago, right, 5 months ago, when we talked in Boston, man, he was like the great upbeat story of the NBA, brother who spent, lifting boxes at FedEx and worked his way up, longtime assistant, finally got his shot and led the Celtics to the NBA finals. And boom, this. So, man, just take us through, Gary. What, he was suddenly last Thursday, the Celtics, I don't know if it was as a shock to you as it was to us, suddenly they announced that he was being suspended. So take us through, man. Tell us what happened. What do you know, and where are we today?
Well, he's still suspended. I don't think he'll ever coach the team again. I think they'll work out a settlement somehow. I think the legal ramifications prevented them from just completely firing him because he might have had a case against the team. So Wednesday night, okay, so there's a foundation in Boston called ABCD where they set up young black men and young people of color with jobs. It's kind of a program that a lot of young Bostonians have gone through. So they do an annual basketball tournament at the Garden where companies pay to play like half court games on the garden floor. And it is kind of organized, and the heads of it are like, it was Doc Rivers, but he couldn't be there. Bob Ryan, one of your former, you know, long time, I know you owned him for years, former columnist of the Boston Globe, and Brad Stevens has kind of taken over for Doc as like the local celebrity to participate in this. So Doc couldn't come because obviously he's in Philly training camp, but there's Brad showing up. He was supposed to do a panel. He told the people he can't do a panel, but he'll show up. Okay. And Brad shows up about 7:30, signs autographs, takes pictures with the players, selfies, all that, is himself. You couldn't tell anything was going on. Unflappable. I interview him for 5 minutes, talk about the injury to Dylan O'Gallinari, Robert Williams knee surgery, just team stuff. How you guys feeling going into camp? Blah, 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 blah. Okay. Like, you know, I wish that someone said, Gary, ask if Ime Udoka is still the coach. Like, who would think that? Like, you know, I'm going on like, you know, we're a few days from training camp, everything's set.
You know, that was about yesterday. You talk about last week.
Last Wednesday.
Yeah.
Okay. Last Wednesday. So 8 days ago now.
Yeah.
So I talked to him for 5 minutes, got what I wanted, wrote a little story, drove home. It was about 9 o'clock, you know, watched television about 10:30. Woj bomb that Udoka could be suspended for multiple games for a violation of team rules. And then everybody, then Twitter goes nuts. What is this violation of team rules? Did he fight somebody? Did he get into a bar fight? What's going on here? Did he punch one of the, like, what happened? So in the middle of the night, Sham Sharania comes up with it's an inappropriate relationship. It was a consensual relationship with an employee that he had violated team rules. So that Thursday morning then goes into people on Twitter searching the Celtics catalog, you know, media guide, online, whatever, website for female employees, and trying to find who is this woman? Like Harpo, who this woman? I'll go color purple on y'all. So the common choice was Allison Feaster. Allison, former Harvard player, WNBA player, played overseas, is now like the player development. She kind of handles things for the players. She's like that liaison. She talks to them. You know, these young guys need someone who's like an older sister or maybe a mother figure to talk to. She is that person. She's the highest ranking Black woman in the organization. Mm-hmm. Attractive woman. Everybody looks at her and goes, oh, must be her. Because let's be honest, two attractive Black folks can't keep their hands off each other.
Right.
That's in the workplace. I know I've been, you know, you talk to an attractive Black woman when you're at your job and somebody, oh, Gary must be trying to date her. No, we friends. I don't like, you know, we've all been accused or been had someone look at us and be like, we can't do too much on the job because people think that we're messing around, even though we're like brother, sister or whatever. You know, we're close, but whatever. So the Twitter goes crazy with pictures of Allison Feaster and who is this woman? And then the information starts coming out that it's not Allison Feaster, that it's another woman, that it's reportedly Brad Stevens' assistant, and that, you know, it sounded like a consensual relationship that had gone too far. Now, here's the situation with Nia Long. He is not married to Nia Long. Okay, they have a son together. They co-parent. They have not been together for a while. We all kind of knew this, but there's no reason for us to write that. It's a coach's personal life. It's not a really big, it's a story with Essence. It's a story with Black Twitter. It's a story with, you know, Black folks who want to know what's up, but not really newsy. in his personal life, as long as he's not doing anything legal or immoral, it's not a story.
Right.
So we all kind of knew that, you know, even though people, because when he first got the job and, you know, local like black journalists were like, oh, Gary, you guys should invite Nia to a meeting and we could, you know, she could be the first black lady of Boston. And I was like, I don't think like y'all, this ain't, like, y'all got this black love thing kind of going out of control here. Like, I don't think this is going to be like that. I think they're cool and they have a son together, but you know, this whole, like they're together. Cause she didn't move up here. She stayed in Brooklyn. When he took the job, he would go down there and see his son to Brooklyn or whatever. So, you know, I was telling people like, it ain't what y'all think it is. Y'all got this fantasy and two good looking people and they got a child. Like y'all want to put them together, but I think they're cool, but they're not together.
Well, that's
so I knew that he was single. Yeah, so yeah. I didn't have a problem.
Right.
Don't
hold your thought, because that bit of news there is a relief, because in this whole thing, those of us who did not know the nature of the relationship were saying that's the worst day of his life, is having to go and face Nia Long, assuming that they were in this intense relationship as had been not reported, but thought. So good. So that's great news, Gary. Let's move on.
Yeah. Well, now that's not to say that, I mean, I ain't getting in this business,
right.
But that's not to say they probably weren't hanging out, but I don't think that they were together. Right. Okay. I don't think that they were like committed.
Right.
Okay. So, you know, it's one of them. It's complicated kind of thing. Are you single, married? No, it's complicated. I think it's complicated with them.
Right.
Okay.
And I think they had been engaged since 2015. So
yeah, they've been engaged.
Complicated.
Exactly. It's complicated. It's one of those, you know, and I think we get it. Two good looking people, both black. You want to put them together and you want them to have, you want them to be a Michelle and Barack. Like that's not,
right.
This is not that situation.
Right.
So what I found was that it was a relationship with someone and who was in the such organization. There was some apparently consensual, what I was told, some inappropriate things eventually occurred. And it kind of just blew up to the point where the team had to do something. And apparently he had been warned twice about this relationship and that he had a code of conduct in his contract that prevented him from being with subordinates. So it got complicated, legal, workplace situations, you know, the potential, and I'm not saying it, what happened, of harassment, all of the above. And it sounded like he did some things that, believe me, he leads him to a championship, NBA Finals, sorry, on the verge of a championship in his first season. They don't want to do nothing with, they want him to coach the team.
Right.
So for them to do this action had to be very, very severe. He had to do what he did was severe. And little information is coming out. And as I was talking with Jamal, some of it's true. Some of it, everybody got theories. Everybody, I know Nia Long cousin and all that stuff. Like, stop that. Like, it's some things that happened with his conduct that made this possible. Why didn't they fire him? I think it was legal ramifications there. Here's the thing. The Celtics want to avoid the courtroom, okay? They don't want, first of all, as I asked the press conference, there's been no penalty against the woman. People have a problem with that. I understand. But one, the woman was sleeping with her superior. There's all types of rules.
The Celtics, Gary, that's the rumor that she was married.
That's the rumor.
And also, you brought up that people were angry that she, like you said, she wasn't punished. I think what people don't understand is, and you bring it up, there's the subordinate and there's the person of power. Once you're a subordinate, there is no such thing as consent as far as legally. You know what I'm saying?
Yes.
So that's the thing that people aren't quite getting when people say, oh, it was a consensual relationship. well, there's really no such thing as far, you know, as far as that goes within the workplace, you know, under those workplace rules. Like the, once you're a subordinate, you don't have the power to give consent for all intents and purposes.
Well, yes. but Gary, so, I mean, there are a lot of questions about this. Cause I was one of those on the side of, I'm not clear about what the rule is. They talk about broke organization rules. What's the rules? Apparently the players didn't know. What are the rules? I mean, what are the rules that you're, are the rules? Because I know the NBA, the league office has rules about close relationship, but apparently every team can make up his own rules.
Yes.
Whether you can.
Yes.
And I'm not clear about what.
And I think there was a personal conduct with it as contract. That forbid him from dating subordinates or for date. And so that's where it got ugly. And I think that they knew about it and they warned him twice and he continued. And then comes the investigation. Okay. They started investigating him in July. Now the question is, and I got questions too, because I ain't had them all answered. When did they tell him about this investigation?
Right.
In the middle of it, you know, how was he being investigated? Was some dude in an unmarked car with some binoculars and a camera outside of his house watching him come home, or outside of her house watching him? Like, how was this all going down? What did the investigation by this law firm, like, how was it conducted?
Right.
And when did he know that he was being investigated?
Right.
And then obviously their findings were ghastly. It was like, this is not 10, 15 games here. So it was something, and people have touched on potential harassment or whatever. Now, when you start getting into that, then the Celtics are scared. And remember what happened with the Dallas Mavericks a few years ago, where Tadema Usri, their president, who was black, was, you know, I mean, he was out of control. He was threatening women, you know, talking. He was a hound. It got out and they blew up the organization, hired Cynthia Marshall, a black woman, to kind of run things. And, you know, the Mavericks got, you know, tagged as like a toxic work environment for women. The Celtics don't want to go there.
Right.
They do not want this woman to say she was threatened with her job, threatened with demotion, whatever, because here comes big coach, you know, and let's be honest, big black coach, her superior saying, sleep with me or be with me or do this with me. So they leave her alone. That's why they haven't done anything with her, because they don't want to get sued and they don't want to get tabbed as a toxic workplace environment where you have other stories from other women saying they felt threatened, they were harassed. So the Celtics are like doing damage control here.
I get that. And again, you know, and I want to take this to a whole other thing too, because in the piece I wrote, I was contrasting Sarver, you know, the Sarver situation at with Phoenix with this, in that Sarver was very clear cut. It was hardcore journalism that outed him. You know, the ESPN piece that you know, 70 people interviewed, hardcore investigative journalism outed him. Then the NBA did their thing, and as a result of that, you know, he basically, and LeBron and some others, and then PayPal, you know, he said, I'm going to sell the team. So to me, that was a good mark for journalism. This is a little murkier because it's kind of what I call the insider journalism. You know, when this all starts with, you know, somebody tips you off, you know, a source, the next thing, you know, and I don't know how at peace you are. To me, if in fact this woman was married, and Udoka is not, I mean, he's not, no matter what we say, he's not, you know, and I know that's a moral call, but if she was in fact married, it seems like, and nobody, you know, she made a decision, you know, she made a decision, and I don't want to know who she is, you know, nobody needs to be outed, but it seems that if there is a rule, and I know you talk about the what do you call it, subordinate, I guess, but there's also personal responsibility, you know.
Totally.
So how you come down on that, that he's out of the job for, like you said, he's probably not gonna coach again. I don't, and apparently what the Celtics said, there's no more discipline. So presumably she still has her job. She's still working. We don't know who she is. Maybe they'll allow her to patch up things at home. The head coach does not have that luxury. I'm asking you to go back and forth between being a reporter and a columnist and just a human being. Where are you at the end of the day? Has justice been served?
I need to know more before I say that, of what he did before I say justice is served. I obviously think the woman was guilty of some, you know, immoral acts, tasteless acts. But as Jamal referred to, you're also dealing with the legal world here, and you're also dealing with a subordinate sleeping with her superior. You're also dealing with a lot of factors here. And let's be honest, we're in Boston. Okay. So this isn't LA. This isn't San Francisco. This isn't a different type of city. This is Boston. So you have some things, some factors there. I don't know if justice was served. I know that what I think is Coach Udoka probably lost a little control, got a little egotistical. And you can't do this. Like, you can't. You are a black coach in Boston. You just come off the finals. You're rising. Like, you can't do this. This is just totally out of bounds. Just from a career standpoint, just from a reputation standpoint, not even a criminal standpoint. I don't know if you committed any crime or did anything, quote unquote, beyond the line, beyond, you know, being in a relationship that was considered against his moral clause or personal conduct. So I can't say, oh yeah, he did dirt or criminal anything. But I think as a man, and as a, you know, he's 45, he should know better than to risk his career. So there has to be, in my opinion, Mr. Roden, a problem, right, where he might need therapy. He might need, you know, he might need to talk to somebody about clearing his mind, finding out who he is again. He might have been a little drunk with power. He might have been a little drunk with, this is someone they say I can't have. Well, I want to have her. There's a lot to unpack here mentally, because even how I put this, I've said this before, even the biggest players know when to draw the line, right? Usually you don't do nothing at your job. You don't risk, you don't mess with your money. You know, you don't mess with your reputation and your character, all this, your moral. And they have a son who's 11 years old, yeah, who's got to watch this. And I said on another podcast, Mr. Roden, like, coming from a father myself who did his share of stuff and dirt, and I'm sure we all come, and some of our fathers weren't the most upstanding men. I remember a lot at 11 years old. That's not an age where I was just watching cartoons or playing outside. Like, I remember a lot of stuff of that age. Your ability to retain information and see what's going on is pretty good at 11. Now, it's not as good as 20 or whatever, but at 11, you pick things up. And so here's his son having to see his parents, his mother embarrassed, his father humiliated, and go through that and try to act like life is normal. So I think there's a lot of victims here. It's a harsh situation. Do I think that justice was served? Like, I need to know more information for that, but I do think it was stupidity here, arrogance, egotistical thinking, and probably a problem, probably something he needs therapy for.
Yeah. Hey, I know my brother's listening now. Just for background, so my brother was an opera singer in Germany since 1989. Gerard, I know that you've told me that there was a lot of stuff going on in the opera house in terms of relationships. Just kind of briefly, describe, were there rules in the opera house regarding consensual relationships, or was it the Wild West?
Well, it's not one and not the other. We've had, I was at the Theater of Ulm for many years, And there were two situations where ballet directors were fired because of inappropriate behavior, and either by themselves or someone related to them. And it was very clear about that, what you can and can't do. But consensual relationships, there's nothing in the way of that. And the biggest example, a former theater director fell in love with the first actress in the house, and they married. And they're both not in the theater anymore, but they're still married. They had a great relationship, and it wasn't a problem. And you could say, well, was that an illegal relationship? Yeah, obviously not. And I was sort of friendly with both of them. I was a little surprised at the time it was going on, as everybody else was, but they had a relationship that didn't have anything to do with the work. And because she was already the first actress in the theater before they started the relationship, it's not like she, you know, profited from it. But it's a different situation. There isn't this thing stipulating that you can't have these relationships. I work in other situations. I do some guest teaching on the university, and it's very clear about that. You know, no relationships with any of the students. I'm not sure how it is about the professors under another, but there's no relationships. And if I meet somebody who's a student in my seminar in the gym, they're still in my seminar, and you know, there's no crossing the line. But the thing in the theater, and so the question I wanted to ask you, Gary, so you're going to punish the person who's the, you know, who's the chief, but what about the other person? I think if I'm a subordinate, and I have had situations where people in higher positions have spoken to me directly or indirectly sexual, in my opinion about that in the theater, I'm adult, they're adult. If I'm not interested, I can say that. And I did that in one situation, say, hey, you know, you're my boss, and I don't think that would cast a good light on our relationship in my professionality if I did that. And he said, it's fine. And we were friends. He helped me out an awful lot, and there's no stress. And I, you know, and drew the line very quickly. But if I know that if something this goes wrong, he's going to get punished and I'm not, you know, how do I relate with that? Even if, you know, the best human may think, okay, well, let me spin the dice here a little bit. And I think that both have to be called on the carpet, because a relationship is between two people. And even if I'm a subordinate, if I say, okay, if I go along with this, there's no punishment for me. You know, I don't know. What do you think about that?
Yeah, I think that they are. I think the Celtics are definitely afraid of a lawsuit from her, because she's in the position of, she's a subordinate, and we're coming from two cases, as I mentioned before, the Dallas Mavericks a few years ago, and this Robert Sarver situation where he was basically saying sexist things, telling women to lose their baby weight and things like that. He was just crass, right? So this is a very sensitive time. And also, sir, Mr. Owen, as you know, the Me Too movement, there's things are evening up, like after years of oppression for women, our mothers, our grandmothers, our aunts felt oppression, sexism, overt. I mean, how many Black women, you know, just examples, went to work as a maid and had the man of the house try to sleep with her or say sexually, and she had to sit there and take it, right? Because she wanted her job.
Right.
I mean, this is generations of that stuff.
Right.
So now, things are evening up. Things are coming to those days are coming to a close. The Celtics are deathly afraid, understandably, of this woman saying this work environment was toxic and I did feel forced, because that's what she needs to say. And as Jamal alluded to, the legal ramifications of, I felt threatened. I felt my job was on the line. I felt that, you know, he said something in reference to me being demoted or not getting a promotion or whatever. She's now, you know, the fact if she's, you know, it's been rumored that she's married, that's immoral, but it's not fireable. Because I've talked to my wife who deals in human resources, Gary, that she says it's tasteless, it's tacky, it's not a good look, all the above, but it's not fireable to cheat on your husband. And I said on the other podcast, if it was illegal to cheat on your spouse, the streets would be safe and clear. There'd be nobody out here in the streets.
Right.
So it's immoral, and she's not right. And do I think she'll do her same job with the Celtics? no, I think she'll probably be, you know, on a leave of absence, or maybe she'll get a settlement. They'll figure out a way to get her out of the organization quietly without firing her, maybe a severance package. But I think they're afraid of her, of the legal ramifications of her going public and saying she felt threatened. Yeah. And who's now, so that's his word against her word, right? You've already suspended the coach, so obviously the team had a problem with what he did. So she could say, yeah, he threatened me. And it's believable. Now, I don't know if it's true or not, but it's believable because they've already suspended him for a year.
Right.
So it puts the team in a really bad position. And I think they're trying to avoid this becoming a huge, bigger issue with other women coming forward, them being to have a toxic work environment and a lot of people in the organization losing their jobs.
I guess even if she perceives a threat, even if there's no threat, it's the perception of a threat that in the court of law that holds up. I guess there are two sides of it. And I think, you know, sexual abuse is one thing. And I've seen that in the theater really blatantly where they call it a Vorstand, somebody who was leading a department would go into the shower and molest women and dare them to say anything because the jobs were very difficult to come by. And they finally fired this guy after someone did come forward. Yeah, that's the one thing. And this really stupid thing that so many people meet their partners on the work site. So how do we get out of this awful tradition where the men had all the rights and could do anything they want and women, or sometimes men, wouldn't be able to do anything, and without having this awful workplace where everybody's afraid to say hi or boo, you know? And that's why I said the people on the other side also have to help be a little bit accountable too, because otherwise you have the situation where there are people, and I have seen that in my business, who use sexuality as a way to further their career, men and women, yeah.
The onus is good. It's always going to be on the person in power. Okay, so because that's where what Barry's saying is, Boston made the decision here. Boston made the decision to suspend Udoka because that's they're legally threatened by the woman here because she has the legal claim. Udoka wouldn't have a legal claim here because he's the person in power. He's already admitted to the relationship, I think.
Right. Well, he apologized. He apologized for embarrassing the organization, family. Right. That's not saying I did it. It's just right. I apologize.
So as a person in power, the onus is on them. You basically cannot have a relationship with a subordinate.
Period.
If you don't want to, put yourself in jeopardy with your job, and you don't want to put the job in jeopardy legally. So I mean, it's basically an open and shut case as far as that's concerned, and so I get where Boston is coming from. They're trying to avoid legal liability. So for people saying, she should be, she has to have some sort of get some sort of the blame. Also, that may be true in the court of public opinion and how she's dealt with by everyday people. But legally, she's not, that power dynamic is in her favor.
Yeah.
Hey, Gary, let me ask you this. How, sort of moving forward, how do you think this affects the team? And how well do you know? I mean, now got Joe Mazzullo is now Mazzullo, right? How do you think this is going to affect the team? I'm looking at the comments from Media Day, and nobody seemed to know what was going on. How do you feel this is going to affect the team moving forward?
Well, Mr. Roder, I think that it depends on their ability to pivot and move on from this, because I think, you've worked in sports for 50 years. This is nothing new to have a coach, player, date someone, see someone, hang out with someone, whatever you want to call it, sleep with someone in the organization. This is nothing new. And it happens in the MLB, MLS, WNBA. I don't care what sport it is. This happens. Okay. So the players obviously knew probably what their coach was doing. They see him on the road. They know coach likes to get it in. That's nothing new. There's been plenty of coaches, especially on the baseball side, you know, managers out at bars. We, you know, I just watched the Dodgers Yankees documentary a couple nights ago and talk about Billy Martin being, you know, living at the bar after games and that type of thing. This is nothing new. Okay. But the players don't know why, what he did. So the players are like, in order for me to feel a certain way or move on, I sort of need to know what happened
right.
and why this all went down. So they're confused and they're grown men. Like I was saying in another pocket, like these are not like 8-year-old boys where you got to explain to little Billy, daddy was cheating on mama. That's why we're getting divorced. Like they're grown men who are living lives. Some of them in the streets, some of them, you know, got multiple, all of what their coach is doing, they're doing, maybe not dating someone in an organization, but multiple women, multiple, like all that. Okay. These are young millionaire athletes. What are they? That's what they do. But they want to know specifically what the hell happened. So I can create, not I, but as a player, create closure and move forward to this new coach and be like, oh, now I get it. Okay. Yep, he messed up, because I think the public was looking for the players to criticize their coach and say, we're disappointed, he let us down. They weren't saying that. They were like, it's an unfortunate situation. We don't know what happened. We just, like, I think they're disappointed in him, but they don't know why they're disappointed. It's like, right. man, he must have messed up. So I think that kind of hinders their ability to move forward. So I think management and ownership need to tell the players as much information as they can. And it's hard to say confidential, because the minute one of these players tells his agent, the agent leaks it. So can you get 15 players in a room, Mr. Roden, and say, y'all don't tell nobody. Remember, you know, don't tell your brother. Don't tell your mama. Don't tell your friends. Don't tell your agent. This is what happened. I don't know if you can do that, because you can't trust the players. Because the players talk to their friends, they talk to their agents, they might tell their mama. Their mama might tell, like, it's too hard to keep it confidential, but I do think the players need to know more. But I think as the basketball continues, the training camp, the sweat, these guys, they're pivoting to Coach Mazzulla. And I think that they have to, they realize they have to. But to ask these young men to just absolutely forget about somebody who they trusted, who was a father figure in some ways, a big brother figure, someone who established himself as someone that they could look up to and be like, snatch him away. It's difficult, because it'd be difficult for any of them.
Gary,
what about in terms of, you know, from, you know, looking at Joe Mazzulla, you know, it's a tough spot, 34 years old. You know, I remember him at West Virginia, tough point guard. Bill wrote an article about him, you know, back 2010 or something like that. So he has the basketball acumen for sure. He has the respect, but, you know, he's coming as he was an assistant coach who's kind of more like the friend of the players than their leader or head coach. What do you think he's up for it? Do you think he can get this done here?
Yeah, I do. I think he's a very serious person. He had some issues when he was in West Virginia. He had a domestic assault case. Get another case of alcohol, but what I've been told, and he found God, he found his faith. Now he has done a 180, because people are kind of calling that out. Well, why would you name a guy who has a previous case, but he's in college? And I don't want to dismiss cases in college, but we all remember college, and you know, and things get kind of out of control if you let it sometimes, and those people that sometimes making the most of their lives and being good people, making mistakes. But I do think he is prepared for this. The question is, you know, it's up to the other players to be leaders, to Jason Tatum, Jaylen Brown, Marcus Smart, to be better leaders, because their coach is inexperienced. He is young. Okay. So it's time for them to put their big boy pants on and grow up too, and be better leaders and understand that their coach is going to need a little bit of a help. Assistance, all that, because he's young. He never played in the NBA. You know, we all know how big of a deal that is with some of these guys is to respect someone who played in the league, who's been where they've been. Now, can he flip it around and do it? Yeah, he could turn them and take them right back to the finals and maybe even win it. But it's going to take a kind of a collective effort. But I think he's focused. I think he understands the situation he's been thrown into, and he wants to take advantage of it. He doesn't want to leave this post. He wants to remain coach of the Celtics. So he's coaching for his career here. Not saying he would never get another job, but he wants to stay. You know, the way he got the job, yeah, it's hard. You know, I mean, I always remember that episode of The Cosby Show where Vanessa was introducing her boyfriend on a secret. She had this secret relationship, and she just thrust him on the family. And Bill Cosby's like, you know what that's like? Having your favorite dinner served to you on a trash can lid, right? And that's how he sort of got this job. Here's your dream job, but it's because your boss got suspended and all that, and you got to coach right away. You ain't got no time to prepare. Okay, so what's on the practice schedule tomorrow? What? So it's hard, but I think he's got enough fortitude to adjust and make it work. And the pressure's on, Bill. As you know, the other 29 teams aren't feeling sorry for him. Right. The other teams are laughing. Yeah. At they laughing at the Celtics right now. So no one's feeling sorry. The games are not going to stop. They're not going to give them a 2-week, decompression break, to process this. The show goes on, so they got to make it work.
I want to get back on the bandwagon about creating a non-predatory environment, and not to get completely off track, but is Boston maybe doing a better job of this than Texas in the National Football League? You're talking about a situation, I don't think this happens a lot in Boston, by the Celtics, and trying to stop this right now, as opposed to allowing 5, 6, 7, or 8 women, to complain about the coach. What do you think about that?
I think the Celtics will meet with individually and collectively with their staff and tell them, keep your hands off each other. And I know of other companies that have done that when it's gotten out of control and there's been harassment lawsuits and other, big media companies have had meetings and said, listen, we can't have this anymore. And I think the Celtics are going to reach out individually in terms of every person. What's your experience? What are you going through? Do you feel threatened? I think they're going to cleanse this thing out because this is a black mark on the organization, or, I don't like saying black.
It's just a bad black mark.
Blacks, beautiful. Demerit, this is a step back. This puts the Celtics in an unflattering light. And I think the organization will take it upon themselves to flush out anything that's going on. And then any inner office relationships that are not consensual and not of, like we talked about, where it's a superior dating their subordinate, is going to have to stop. I don't care if y'all are really happy. Like, this is not a good look for us, because the minute one person wants to stop dating, the other person doesn't, or there's harassment or too many phone calls or too many text messages, then it gets uncomfortable. Then you get the company involved. So I think the Celtics will make sure to vet out everything if anything is going on. I have not seen anything in my personal experience, 13 years, of inappropriate. I've seen, with organizations, players hanging out with women who work in the community relations department or other departments. And yes, have I seen that? Yes. Has it been something where it was inappropriate or where I saw where someone, no, it, these are flings. These are young people, young, attractive people. They're going to mess around with each other. That's just the nature of us, especially in our 20s and 30s, when, you make the biggest, you're the best looking that you'll ever be, but you're also apt to make the biggest mistakes.
And
right?
You're a millionaire, and don't
steal. Yes, and for the players, they're millionaires. Exactly. So, that's the unfortunate part, but I do think the Celtics will do their best to vet out anything else that might be going on, because this is an embarrassing moment for them.
My last question is, you know, I'll just get back to you, Udoka. You mentioned at the beginning that you thought, you know, he would never coach for Boston again. I've heard some other people say, you know, either take it further, that they don't think he'll be able to coach in the league again. And I've heard some other people supposedly in the know say, no, they don't think it's that bad. They think he'll get a job again. I guess we have to wait for everything to come out. We know it was a relationship. Are you hearing that there was anything beyond that that could take it to a level where he never coaches in the league again?
I think that there's probably some inappropriate behavior that happened. But I also think if I'm Ime Udoka, you know, and you guys are smarter than me, and you guys probably thought this too, I would, one, disappear for a while. Don't be seen publicly, and sure as hell don't be seen publicly with a random woman. Like, just, you know, just hide away. Go to Mexico, go to whatever is your place, Jamaica. Yeah, Tibet, Antarctica. Go hang out somewhere for a couple of months and cool out. Secondly, get some therapy. Thirdly, become a better, you know, be a better father to your son, be a better family man, etc. Try to make it work. Not saying the relationship, but just a cordial bond with the mother of your child. Then, if I'm him, in March, April, once the news cycle churns, the NFL season is going to continue, the NBA is going to start, LeBron's going to be chasing Kareem's scoring record, all these things are going to happen. Christmas comes, like, you know, this is not going to be the top story for you know, much longer, right? Go to Robin Roberts or Gail King, do a one-on-one interview, admit all faults, say you're in therapy, you're trying to be a better man, and it might take a while, but just admit all your faults, live a clean life. If you know, I mean, I hate to say it, but you know how we are. This is when we find Christ, okay? Find Christ and admit you're wrong. We love reclamation stories. We love comeback stories. We love people who make the best of a second opportunity. It might take a year or two, but I think given his talent, the ability to lead a team to the NBA championship, to the finals, that he will gain interest. He'll just have to let things cool out for a while. I do think he'll coach again, or it could be someone that he's worked with who says, hey, man, you want to be an assistant, you want to be a consultant, you want to be a scout, and he might have to start from the bottom. But he's got the skills, the intelligence, okay? He knows what he's doing. He's just off the court in his personal life was haywire. Get that right. Show people you got that right. It wouldn't help if he got married or something, or, you know, hey, you know, something where he could be seen like stability. And then a year or two, yes, I think he'll coach in the league again.
Yeah. Our guest has been the great Gary Washburn of the Boston Globe. Great columnist, great reporter. You've heard him on a lot of different podcasts, including ours. Hey, Gary, before we let you go, just sort of wrapping all this up, and I really appreciate your time, man. So the season starts with two organizations being rocked, the Suns and the Celtics.
Yeah.
Which group do you think will recover quickly? It seems like closure has come with the Suns, where, as you mentioned, the Celtics players are still kind of confused because there's ambiguity between what happened. There's really two questions. Which group of players do you think will recover first? And secondly, do you think this is a shot across the bow to all NBA franchises, not just the Celtics, but to all NBA franchises?
Yeah, the first question, I think the Suns will respond quicker because, one, their structure is still there, the general manager, their coach, everybody's still there. It's the rogue owner, okay? So how much of a deep relationship did, besides maybe Chris Paul and Devin Booker, did the rest of those guys have with the owner? They probably are glad he's gone. It's a relief to them. They can move forward and concentrate on trying to get back to the finals and whatever after having a disappointing end of last year. So I think the Suns will recover because, one, the owner doesn't have much of a – besides signing the checks, he doesn't have much of an impact on them. You know, they knew he was probably off the hook. They knew that he was probably, you know, just tacky and immoral. But now he's gone. It's a more of a relief where the Celtics have to deal with a new coach and deal with the absence of their old coach and then wonder why, what the heck happened. And I do think, yes, not only the NBA organizations, but I think around professional sports, teams are going to start, one, being we're much more aware of workplace relationships and environments and vet those out, like examine, do a house cleaning of what's going on in the organization. The part that I'm unfortunately think is going to happen here, though, is that especially a lot of young Black coaching candidates will now have to be even more squeaky clean before they get jobs than before, because Udoka comes in with what we've been told, and we're still working on it. His past was clean, okay? Things, people did it. The Celtics didn't know this would happen. They're embarrassed. So when the next, especially African-American, and maybe other young coaching candidates too, but when the next young African-American candidate, well, who are you with? Are you married? What's your life outside basketball like? Like, teams are going to want to know that. Okay, this is raise the awareness of the personal lives of the coaches. How, where do you spend your off time? What kind of things do you like to do? Like, you know, that's what's going to, I think, affect African-American, especially aspiring African-American coaches, is that this is going to make a mark in terms of just how coaching candidates are examined, their personal lives, if they're single, what kind of single life are they living, all of that, because this took everybody by surprise.
Yeah, that's great, man. I know this is a whole segment that we get into, even in terms of, I know there are one or two instances of even reporters marrying athletes, you know, and that's a whole nother area of,
yes,
of what constitutes proper relationships. Yes. Hey, Gary, man, this is great, man. Thank you so much, man. It's always great to have you on the show.
Thank you.
Insightful, know your stuff, and you've got a master's degree from the University of Nebraska in journalism. So you know.
Thank you. Yes, I do. Thank you.
You know what you're talking about. Next time you come on, I tease insider journalism. I like to get your take on.
Okay.
Time too.
Always, no problem.
Another.
Okay.
That's a whole nother thing. Hey, but thank you so much, man. You're the best, Gary. Really appreciate
it. Okay, thank you. Great to be here. Nice to meet you. See you gentlemen later.
Right.
That was a great, the great Gary Washburn. Hey, in the couple minutes we have left, Jamal, I mean, we always have Gerard on to talk briefly, Gerard, about the Chicago Bears and the NFL.
They're 2-1, aren't they 2-1?
They're 2-1. That's the lamest 2-1 I've ever seen. 1-1 in monsoon. I forget the other team they be. I forget what the Detroit Lions.
Texas.
right, exactly. The juggernaut, Texas, Houston. But so Gerard, again, from Chicago, unlike me, who I, you know, stopped caring about, you know, being a fan years ago. What's your quick take on your Chicago Bears?
Well, my quick take on the Bears, just like the rest of the league, I said, I'm going to wait for six games until I make any comments. The league this year has really started off interestingly. Yeah, obviously, I wasn't even expecting the Bears to be 2-1 right now, because I see a lot of the problems there. And so some positive things I've liked about them. They're running the ball, which I think is a big comment about, I mean, we know they have two really great backs, but it's a comment about the offensive line. And that was the biggest question. We understand this is a team that's rebuilding. It's probably going to take a couple of years, but they need to have some kind of identity. They need to be able to do something well. In the past years, they've neither been able to run or pass the ball effectively. And I think, you know, obviously, against the San Francisco, I mean, they've got a pretty good defense. That wasn't such a great running game against the Packers, against Texas. Getting over 200 yards, I think that's a good thing. Maybe a little bit disappointed in Fields But I expect that. But I think you got to wait until six games. And it's the same thing for Kansas City and Buffalo and Miami and the Ravens. You got to wait to see, for six games to go by to see what's really going on right now. That's what I say. If you're a Bear fan, it's not always about winning. It's about the path of life we take. But I think there's some really good things in place right now. Roquan Smith, I think, is really a monster. Eddie Jackson is really a monster. Dave Montgomery and Khalil Herbert are really, really good. I believe in Justin Fields. And I think, Cole Kmet, I think they've got some good basic players. They need a couple of other names in there. And we will see how the system with Eberflus is really working out. And you can't really comment on that after three games, no matter who they beat or whom they lost to, you know. So that's my take about that.
Elsewhere around the NFL, and Gerard, you have to have a pretty good feeling about the Bears right now. 2-1. People thought, remember, coming into the season, a lot of people thought they'd be one of the worst teams in the league. That still could be the case, but right now, 2-1, and you have a winnable game coming up against the Giants, who are 2-1. That's not a great team you're going to go into New Jersey to play against this weekend. But around the league, other big things happening in the NFL. We got Lamar betting on himself thing is doing pretty well, I'd say. He's dominating it and looking like, you know, early three games in, but he looks like he could be an MVP candidate. You'll have Tua and the Dolphins at 3-0 after a win over Josh Allen and the Bills, and nobody was predicting that. And then one of the big surprises this year, of course, is the Eagles 3-0, looking like a real contender. If that's possible this early, and Jalen Hurts tearing the league up so far. So those are like the headlines so far in the NFL. And right now the Bears are relevant, Gerard. You gotta be happy.
If only
stop
now.
Yeah. End the season now.
If we could just end the season now, everybody would go to the beach. We'd be so happy. It would be,
it'd be
the Bears headed to the Super Bowl.
I think that's something, I guess the other thing that I'm very happy about were the way the Bears are playing fourth quarters. I think a lot of times the Bears were not able to finish games, and that's a positive thing. They may lose every other game they play this year, but we're talking about what is the system with Poles and Eberflus? What are they trying to build? And that's why I'm not even taking this year that seriously. I'm not expecting great things, but I'm expecting to see kind of a seed of, you know, where it's going to go. You know, I think they might need five players or six players. They got a lot of interesting receivers, but nobody who's really like deadly. Right. They need to have pass. There's a lot of things they have to go on there. But, you know, what about Detroit? You know, Detroit has been for the last several years a team that would play teams like, even like Green Bay really tight for three quarters and lose by a field goal. And they're still, you know, holding on to that trend. I think Minnesota's the real deal this year. I'm expecting they're actually going to be thrown. The Packers, I have a feeling about that. And there were some predictions for Philadelphia being a Cinderella team. But who Philadelphia has played who so far this year?
Well, they just beat the terrible Washington football team, the Commanders, I guess.
Right, yeah.
And who did they beat before that? They beat...
I don't know, but, it's like you said, we're three games into the season. We have Thursday night football tonight. We'll talk about that. Yeah. Hey, listen, before we go, Gerard, I want, you know, you had a big there's a big occurrence in your career. It kind of parallels with Serena Williams. You want to talk about this gigantic milestone in your career?
Yes, I retired from the theater at the end of the season. You see that word just wasn't coming out right. In my case, retirement is just about, I was singing the opera chorus, had been there the last 16 years, been in the theater the last 27 years. The change for me is now that I can discern more of what I want to do with projects. I left on very good terms with the theater. They're probably going to ask me back to do some projects and to see what do I want to sing right now. You know, it's like being a football player. You can't do this forever. And I'm pretty good shape right now and trying to see the next 5-6 years what kind of trouble I can get into. And luckily some good musicians have come up to me and said the same thing. So you're not with theater now, what can we do together? So I'm excited about it. I really am. Everybody dreams about you know, leaving a theater like that on your terms and still being able to sing and not, you know, limping over the finish line. And I feel really that this is the beginning of my life right now. And I'm healthy. I'm excited about it and see what's going to happen. Maybe next year when we have this conversation, we'll already have some interesting stuff. I'm glad to be able to visit my brother in September. The season has started and I'm not there. You know, the first time in the 31 years I've been in Germany to be able to have this time right now free. So I'm good. I'm good. We're going to see what we can do with it. You know,
congratulations.
Yeah.
Thank you.
And he was here singing at my nephew's wedding. You know, Kyle Dudley, a friend of the show, married Ayanna Harry, anchor for WPIX. Great ready. And Gerard was the star. Well, outside of the bride and groom, Gerard was the star of the wedding. He sang a great spiritual, and he sang
Center of My Joy.
Yeah, then he sang Always and Forever and brought the house down. The place was like, so congratulations on that, Gerard. I think you may have a new gig, series of gigs in terms of singing, wedding. So,
I saw it on Instagram. I saw him singing at the wedding on Instagram. So I told him it went viral.
Oh, wow. Very good. Good job. Well, before we sign out, man, you know, you do, we have to have what's become a Bros Pod favorite during the football season is your black quarterback rankings. So what are the black quarterback rankings as we anticipate week four?
Right, yeah.
Well, you know, Lamar Jackson's going to be number one. I mean, black, white, green, and whatever. He's the number one. You know?
All right, Gerard, don't take his thunder, Ron.
That is true, though. And, you know, we talked about before the Bears being 2-1. That was the good news for the Bears before I get into this list. But so number one, as you predicted, Lamar Jackson. He's also, like you said, number one black, green, yellow. He's number one in passer rating in the league. 10 TDs, 2 interceptions, 2 rushing TDs, 243 yards rushing, and the Ravens are 2-1. Number two, Jalen Hurts, which would have been a surprise before the season. He's fifth in passer rating. He's throwing for 305 yards a game. He has 4 TDs, 4 TD passes, 1 interception, but he also has 3 rushing TDs and 167 rushing yards. And the Eagles are 3-0. Number three, we got Pat Mahomes. He's third in passer rating. He's having a steady season so far. He had that shaky loss last week to Indianapolis, but that was more of a team effort in that loss.
Yeah.
8 TDs, 1 interception. They're 2-1. Number four, another surprise, we got Tua in passer rating.
Honorary soul brother.
Your honorary soul brother, which also means I got to include Mariota. They're both Samoan. But Tua second in passer rating, 8 TDs, 2 interceptions. Going for 308 yards a game.
And 3 wins.
Yeah, 71% completion percentage. And like you said, 3-0, which is...
In that case, you do have to look at who they played. They played Buffalo, you know.
Yeah, Buffalo, that's a real win. So,
yeah. Gotta give them
credit. Another surprise at number 5. I don't know if you guys would guess this one, but Geno Smith.
Oh,
He's actually 7th in passer rating in the league. Only 4 TDs, but just 2 interceptions, but... has a 77.5% completion percentage, even though they're 1-2. Number 6, another surprise, Jacoby Brissett. He's 10th in passer rating. He's been steady, throwing for just under 200 yards a game, but 4 TDs, only 1 pick, and they are 2-1 without, you know, as they wait for Deshaun Watson at the end of the year. Number 7, you got Russell Wilson. He's been struggling, but he's been able to win some close games with Denver.
And you talk about him, you know, they fumbled 2 times inside the 3-yard line in one game. And that's not on him, you know.
That's true. But only, you know, he only has 2 touchdown passes so far this year in these 3 games, 1 interception. So he's going to have to pick it up as well. Number 8, Kyler Murray has been a disappointment. Usually at this time of the year, Kyler Murray is soaring. He usually gets off to a good start, tails off at the end. Hopefully this year it'll be the opposite because he's starting off pretty slow. He's 24th in passer rating, has 3 touchdown passes, 1 interception, only 65 rushing yards, and Arizona's 1-2. Number 9, Jameis Winston.
He started
bang week 1, but has been all downhill the last 2 weeks. He's 26th in passer rating, 4 TDs, 5 interceptions. So he's kind of going, kind of retreating back to
all direction.
And he's going.
I think only Joe Burrow has more interceptions than him.
Yeah, the Golden Boy, Joe Burrow, the new Golden Boy. But Jameis is one. He has the Saints 1 and 2, and then number 10, unfortunately, is Justin Fields. And not all of that do I put on him, because obviously they're not really letting him throw the ball at all. And he is 2-1, so he has done enough to get 2 victories. But
his passing, I mean, the passing yards are really low. But that's the thing. They may need some receivers. He's missed them. You know, both the I didn't watch the interceptions, but they're both high throws to an open receiver, to Cole Kmet. And he'd been sacked 5 times, which, you know, that's not necessarily on him. But I don't think you can rate him higher than that. You know?
Yeah, I mean, at this point, I still like him. I like his skill set. I like his potential still. I just hope that they can figure out how to open it up for him. Like you said, I mean, he's throwing, I don't know how many passes a game he's throwing. Not many. He's throwing about like 10 to 15.
12. 15, something. Yeah, yeah. 12 to 15, yeah.
Averaging 99 yards a game and has 2 touchdowns, 4 interceptions. But, you know, he has pretty good rushing yards and 2 wins. So it's all terrible.
If they can run for 260 yards every game, they're going to look pretty pretty good.
All right. So there you have it. So there you have the Jamal's black quarterback rankings. Lamar, Jalen Hurts, Mahomes, Tua, Geno Smith, Brissett, Wilson, Kyler Murray, Jameis Winston, and rounding out Justin Fields. So
what about Trubisky?
Yeah, right.
He's a black quarterback.
So, okay, everybody. So listen. So thanks for that, Jamal. So listen, everybody. Jamal, I know you want to tell everybody where to get their where to watch us and how to continue to rate us so that we can continue to have Esquire like us and rank us high.
Yeah, no question about that. Thanks to the listeners, as usual. You can listen to us wherever you get your podcasts. And also leave us 5 stars and a comment telling us how much you love the show. That would be great. That helps. You can also follow us on Instagram at BrosPod. We're doing a lot there. Follow us on Twitter at BrosPod. Probably more importantly, subscribe to us on YouTube. We've been putting a lot more up on YouTube, including full podcasts that are on video. So check that out on YouTube. Facebook, of course, Bill Roden on Sports on Facebook. We get a lot of interaction on there.
All right. Hey, again, thanks, everybody. This has been great. I'd like to thank Gary Washburn, great guest. Gerard, we've been having a ball. It's been great hanging out with you, watching football, like, nonstop.
Right.
great seeing you perform at the wedding. That was great. And, look
forward. And we're going to see you in November.
Yeah, we're going to see each other in November, Jamal. The NFL is playing its first regular season game in Munich, Germany. And Gerard and I will be there. And Helgo will all be there, front and center on the 50-yard line in Munich, watching Tampa Bay and Seattle. Hopefully, it's a good game.
Geno Smith.
Right.
Oh, brother. Yeah. Come on, Geno. Yeah. 5 yards, 5 yards per attempt. But hey, listen, that's the best way to increase your completion percentage. So listen, everybody, thank you guys for listening. Continue to be safe out there. If you haven't been tested for, if you haven't got your booster shot, get it. Get everything that they can, they offer. Just take it. And continue to be safe and pray. So God bless everybody. We'll see you next week. We'll be right back.